Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
Really powerful. So here we are, church, 2,000 years since or after that event took place. And after what Chris read this morning, which was from Luke 24. So if you want to read that again, it's Luke 24 does it really well. And it's just really interesting this morning that there are millions of Christians worldwide who are celebrating that Jesus is alive this morning. Isn't that incredible? I did a quick search on the internet, and there's an estimated 2.4 billion Christians compared to a global population of around 8 billion. So that's about 30% of the world who identify as Christian. Now, I think if you did a deep dive on those numbers, you'd find a lot of those individuals who say that they're Christian aren't really Christian. In them, they haven't actually made a commitment to follow Jesus. And I wonder why. I wonder why that is. You know, there's lots of historical proof, aside from the Bible, that Jesus existed. That he did the things that the Bible talks about him doing. That he in fact lived. And then he died on a cross on the hill of Golgotha just outside of Jerusalem. Even skeptics, even atheists say that the proof is undeniable. There are more written documents on Jesus' life than any other subject in ancient literature. You see, very few people deny that Jesus lived the life that these accounts say he did, including that he died on the cross. Yet, and this is the big one, yet, the issue people struggle with is not with the fact that he lived and that he died. But people struggle with is the fact that he rose again. I recently read a report from Christian Concern this week about teenagers. Youth, you can tune into this bit. A recent survey of 25,000 13 to 17 year olds across 26 countries, including the UK, found that 52% of those teenagers described themselves as Christian and identify with Christianity in some way. But here's the interesting bit. Of that number, only 22% said they were committed to following Jesus, that they had made a personal commitment. And they said the importance of that was not only believing in him, but knowing him as an important part of their lives. That same report found that in the UK, the popular message from teenagers was that Christianity is irrelevant, especially in today's world. And they said that they found it impossible to have a relationship with a God that was so irrelevant. And that made my heart sad, because they're missing out on the very thing that Jesus is. They're missing out on the impact of the resurrection. You see, it's Christianity without a connection, without a king. You see, church, that's a religion, not a relationship. And it's very, very different. Now, I love Easter, not just because of the chocolate. Chocolate's good, though. I don't like the idea that all the kids get the chocolate this morning. So I've brought some chocolate. Do you know, I like, we're all children of God. Lisa reminded me that this morning, right? So I bought non-filled eggs so they're not too hard when they land. Do you think we can do this? All right, I'm going to start at the back, okay? Okay. I'm going to start in the middle, okay? And I'm going to start over here. And I'm going to start at the back. And I'm going to start in the middle. And like, this is all part. Oh. That isn't scriptural, by the way. It doesn't say in Psalm 30 you must throw chocolate at everyone on Sunday morning. It's in the small print. It is. You're right, Monty, it is. So I love Easter not just because of the chocolate and the idea of being together with family and friends. I love the account of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John as they unfold the account of Jesus and the resurrection. You see, like what Chris did this morning, you read these scriptures just like we did, and you get the wonder and the majesty and the power and the miracle of those few hours when Jesus rose from the dead, and you can't help but notice that something spectacular was happening. You can't help see it. You can't help feel it. You can't help but notice. And as Christians, we don't just believe just because the Bible tells us so. It's way deeper than that. It's more real to us than the event that happened 2,000 years ago. So much more than just some historical account. It's not that it's just some inspirational story that gives us hope. It's not just some historical story with a happy ending. Listen, church, it's life-changing and it's life-giving. So let's just think about this for a second. We as Christians get to know that Jesus died and he rose again. Why? Because of what he did on the cross. We get to know him personally. We as Christians, we get that personal relationship. Now, some of you are probably thinking, hang on a minute. Know him personally? That sounds a little crazy to me. Almost ridiculous. That surely is impossible. Not so. It's absolutely the truth. And it's real. And it's the reason he died, and it's the reason he rose again. He died for you and for me so that we could have a living relationship with him. You want to know what kept Jesus on the cross that day he died? It wasn't, you see, the nails in his hands or his feet. You see, he was fully man and fully God. You don't think he had the power to end it? His torture at any point in time? Of course he did. He could have said, at any point, enough is enough. You see, what kept Jesus on the cross the day he died? It was you. It was you. You're the reason he went through all of that pain. He knew that his death meant forgiveness for you, for the whole of mankind. It meant you being able to have a personal relationship with God himself. This is what kept him on the cross, the day he died. I've lost my clicker, Levi. Do you mind clicking me on? Ah, thank you. You see, church, there's a big difference between believing in him and knowing him. And it's not the same. It's in the knowing him personally that the whole of the resurrection comes alive and starts to make sense. Church, I once had an Audi Quattro, a four-wheel powerhouse. Caroline hated it. 10-valve turbo-charged engine, 0 to 60 in 7.1 seconds. Top speed, 137 miles an hour. Now, church, it looked fast. Oh, it looked fast. First time I set my eyes on it in the garage, we fell in love. But it wasn't until I got behind the wheel and I felt its power that I knew beyond all doubt that this car was crazy good. Like nothing I'd ever driven before. You see, I'd read all the specs. I knew its history. But it wasn't until I personally experienced what I believed to be true about the car that my appreciation and my understanding of that car started to develop. So let's just unpack that in terms of knowing him a little further. And I'm guessing we're all at slightly different places on our journey with God this morning. And if there's one thing, if it's only one thing I want us to do this morning, when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus, is I want you to know what it means to you and what it means to me. So what does it take to begin a relationship with God? Wait for that spiritual experience. Wait until perhaps you've got your life in just a little better order. Wait until you've stopped doing some of the things that you know God will have a problem with you doing. Perhaps we just need to be a little bit of a better person so that God will accept us. But I say to you this morning, no. No, no, no. It is none of these things. You see, God has made it very clear through the Bible how we can know him. God loves you and others, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. See, God created you. Not only that, he loves you so much, he wants to spend eternity with you. Jesus said that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life, life forever with him. You see, it's a forever thing. It's an overflowing thing. It's a love thing. It's a restored thing. It's a love-centered relationship thing. And it's forever. You see, Jesus came so that each of us could know and understand God in a personal way. All of our sin has separated us from God. Maybe this morning you sense that separation, that distance from God. Because of our sin, the Bible tells us that all of us are like sheep having gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. You see, deep down, our attitude may be one of active rebellion or passive indifference to God. But it's all what the Bible explains as sin. And the result of our sin means death, spiritual separation from God. Although we might try to get close to God, while we might try and have what this world holds and what we want in God, we inevitably fail. Jesus paid the price for our sin for us. That's the good news this morning, church. And he now offers us complete forgiveness and a close relationship with him for eternity, forever. Jesus took all our sins, suffered and paid for them with his life on the cross. And Jesus died for us in our place. He did this out of tremendous love for us. The Bible says he saved us not because of the righteous things that we've done, but because of his mercy. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, our sin doesn't have to separate us from God any longer. How good is that, church? How good is that this morning? You see, Jesus said he could answer prayer, he could forgive sin, he will judge the world, and he will give us eternal life. Jesus was clear. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Instead of trying to reach God, he tells us how we can begin a relationship with him right here, right now. Jesus said, come to me. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You see, it was Jesus' love for us that caused him to endure the cross. But he's now inviting you to come to him, that we might have this personal relationship with him. You see, just knowing Jesus, knowing what he's done for us, it's all it's about. It's a simple invitation. It's a simple invitation. Would you welcome me into your life? And there's something we have to do, church. There's something we have to do. We need to individually accept Jesus as Savior and Lord in our lives. The Bible says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in my name, he will give the right to become children of God. But listen, church, the Bible also says this. In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, it says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name. We've cast demons out in your name. We've done many wonders in your name. And he says, and I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practiced lawlessness. You see, there's a difference in believing in God and then believing and knowing him. There's a big difference, church. You see, we accept Jesus by faith. The Bible says God saved you by his special favor when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done. See, it doesn't matter how you've lived your life and if you think you've lived a great life. If you're a good person, it's not enough. That doesn't qualify you to go into heaven. It's accepting Jesus and believing that Jesus is the Son of God and inviting him into our lives to direct our lives. Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You see, I sometimes think, church, we think that saying yes to Jesus is like plan B. It's like, oh, if I accept Jesus, I'll not be able to do this or that, or I'll have to give up this or that. And That's crazy thinking, church. Because Christ says he came to give us life in all of its fullness. And you're lying to yourselves if you think without God you can live that life. It's only with God that you can have a life of fullness. And here's Jesus. Oh, nearly fell over there. And here's Jesus saying, I'm standing at the door knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I will come in. So there's nothing, church, that you can do this morning that you think, I need to do this before I come to God. Or I need to do this in order for God to accept me. No. He says, you just got to say yes. It's just got to say thank you for dying for me. It's a heart thing, church. It's saying, yes, I believe. I believe in you and what you did for me on the cross. So, church, how will you respond to God's invitation this morning? You see, if you don't know God, you can receive him right now. Remember that Jesus says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Perhaps you're here this morning for the first time, or it's maybe the first time of coming and really thinking about what is your response going to be to this invitation. You see, the precise words you use are not important. He knows the intentions of every one of our hearts. It's whether you want to respond. Now, there might be some people here this morning who do want to respond to Jesus, who want to say this morning, yep, yeah, I'm in. I'm willing to say yes to Jesus this morning. So let's just bow our heads and pray. And if you this morning want to say yes to that invitation from Jesus, just want you to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to come into a relationship with you. And whilst I don't understand what that might be and what that might look like, please come into my life. Thank you for dying on a cross for my sin. I could be fully accepted by you. Even with all my sins and all my wrongs and all the things that I do which must drive you crazy, I want to say this morning, I want to be yours. And I understand only you can give me the power to change and become the person you created me to be. Thank you for forgiving me. I give you my life. Please do with it as you wish. Amen. Now, if you sincerely ask Jesus into your life just then he has come into your life as promised. You've begun a personal relationship with God. And he really wants to get to know you. You may want to ask Jesus into your life, but you may have some questions. And if that's you this morning, please come and see me after the service, and I'll help answer those questions that you might have. But there may be some people here this morning that have already invited Jesus into their life and who know him. But for some reason, you've strayed off course. God has become less in your life and you've lost your way and you can't really seem to find a way back. In some ways, your relationship with God, it's just stopped. It's just fallen flat. And it's like you and God are just on hold. Again, the words are important. He knows the intentions of your heart. But if that's you, I just want us to pray. So let's all bow our heads and we'll pray. Jesus, I want you to know I'm sorry. I'm sorry for letting our relationship go cold. I'm sorry for not being available to you. And I'm sorry for not wanting you, even when I know you've been chasing me down, even though when I know you've been running towards me, even though when you've put people in my path to talk about you. Lord, I'm sorry. Today, I want to say again, I need you and I want you. Today is a day I turn away from apathy and all that the world offers, and I choose you again. And I say, thank you for dying on a cross so that I might live. Thank you for defeating death so that I can have a relationship with you in all of its fullness. Please draw close to me as I seek you again. Amen. Lastly, for those of us who perhaps are in a relationship with God and have been running for a little while with God, and we're like, no, I'm good, our relationship's good with God, and I'm pleased with the time and I spend with God, I believe I've got a good relationship with God, then I want to further encourage you this morning as we go deeper, we go all in, okay? No compromise. And there's four principles that have helped me on my journey with God. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Yeah? It's just like a little bit of revision, okay? First one is talk to him. Seems obvious, doesn't it? You see, the source of any good relationship is good conversation. I know that because I've been married 26 years and my wife keeps reminding me. Her quality is she wants conversation and she looks me in the eye and I'm always doing something else. I'm trying to look her in the eyes while I'm answering a message on my phone. Or I'm just scrolling through Instagram saying, yes, darling, yes, 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 yes. And then she'll catch me out and go, what have I just said? Whoa, and I take a guess, and if I get it wrong, I'm in big trouble. So conversation's important, and it's important in our relationship with God. We need to pray. Some of us have crazy ideas that prayer is like some religious event where we've got to kneel by our bed with our hands together, and that's fine, that's part of it, but it doesn't have to be, because prayer is simply this. It's a conversation between you and God. That's all it is. I pray to God when I'm like gardening, feeding the cats. Do you know what I mean? It's like he's just in the room. But here's the thing. Satan tries to limit your praying because he knows that your praying will limit him. Let me say that again. Satan tries to limit your praying because he knows your praying will limit him. It's good that, isn't it? Stole that out of Instagram. Not my words. It's good though, isn't it? Second, listen to him. A significant key to knowing God is tuning into his voice. He loves talking with us. He loves spending time with us. And if you spend time in his word, you hear his voice. Spend time in prayer, you'll hear his voice. You spend time just at his feet, you'll hear his voice. Study him. Whether that's through Bible study or that's through the many commentaries you can find, knowing him is about knowing what has been written about him. You see, Chris mentioned this morning that the word is a living word. And you might go, well, I don't understand that. What's all that about? It's because when we read God's word, Holy Spirit speaks it into our heart. And the Spirit that's in us brings those words to life. So you need to read scripture. You need to study. You need to read his living word because that really changes your heart. And lastly, community. I think this is critical in knowing God. Place yourself in community with others who are seeking God, who are passionate about God, and they'll help you with your journey with God. You see, we can do all the things that we think are going to bring us closer to God, but unless we travel together, with others that when we fail can come alongside and support and speak in truth in our lives. Do you know how powerful it is for someone to come alongside and say, let me just pray for you? Or even, God's just given me this word for you. That's why it's important. God didn't intend this life of Christianity to be you on your own. It's you with others. But be careful, church. Choose the people you travel with carefully. Choose the wise. Choose those that discern. Most of all, choose those that hear God's voice. That's the key. Choose those who hear God's voice. They'll get it wrong from time to time. We all will. There'll be times when they'll say things that aren't quite right. Doesn't matter. Because God will fix that. The important thing is, are they hearing God's voice? Okay, we're coming into land now. This is the last thing I want to say, really, to everyone this morning. Is that the resurrection is for all of us. Whatever your background, whatever your future. Maybe you've come for the first time this morning and you've never really given it a thought. Let me tell you, the resurrection's for you this morning. If you've been coming to church for 35 years and you think you've got it all down, let me tell you, the resurrection's for you this morning. If we don't understand the invitation of that, if we don't understand the invitation of the resurrection, then we're missing out on the very relationship we were designed for. God designed us to have this relationship with him. It's what we were created for. So listen, as I say this morning, that you are called. You can't run from it. You can't deny it. You can't ignore it. It's a call. God knew what he was doing. He knew who he was calling. He expertly knows every detail. The Bible tells us that he knows how many hairs you have on your head. Mine, less so these days. He knows you physically. He knows your fingerprint. He even knows your thoughts, your innermost feelings. He intricately designed you to be original. Did you know that, church? And he wants to have a relationship with you because he loves everything about you. It also says in the Bible that you were made in his own image. So when he sees you, church, he sees all this wonder. He sees all this beauty. He sees all that he created you to be. But until you walk in that relationship, you'll be forever searching. I'm so glad that my freedom isn't based on what I've done. I'll tell you, church, I've done some bad stuff. And I'm so thankful that it's based on what God did and not what I've done. Does that make sense? So thankful to God himself that the work of the resurrection of Jesus this morning. So don't let this pass you by, church. Whether you're new, you've been coming for zillions of years, don't let this morning pass you by. Don't let Jesus' love for you and the sacrifice that he has made pass you by this morning. You see, we're not just talking for the now or for the tomorrow. We're talking for eternity. For the whole of eternity, church. It's time that we take a minute just to take the resurrection seriously this morning. It's no fairy tale. It's no made-up story. It's no historical event that is going to stay a historical event. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to you. Question is, what's your response going to be this morning? It's all that matters. What is your response to the resurrection going to be this morning? It's time, church. If you sat there thinking, yeah, I get it, but I just need a bit longer, or maybe next Sunday. Church, there might not be next Sunday. The time is now. The time is to really take this seriously and to make a response. You see, you can't sit on the fence with God. You're either all in or you're all out. What's it going to be this morning, church? That's the question.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.